Hello, everybody, and welcome in to eBible Fellowship's continuing Bible studies into the book of 1 Samuel, heard at this very same time, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for being with us wherever you are and however you're listening to us, either through eBible Fellowship's webcast audio or through Skype or perhaps through Pal Talk or even over the phone. And we pray that the Lord's blessings will be with us over the next 30 minutes or so as we now prepare to open our Bibles and introduce Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight will be study number 39, and we are currently in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verses 18 through 21. And it says in 1 Samuel 2:18, "But Samuel ministered before Jehovah, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'Jehovah give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to Jehovah.' And they went unto their own home. And Jehovah visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before Jehovah." And I'll stop reading there. Now, we've been following the account here in chapter 2, which began with Hannah's prayer. And then we saw that God gave us information about Eli's unfaithful sons and their custom with the people, which was distorting. It was bringing reproach upon God himself, causing people to blaspheme him as far as their violation of God's commandment concerning the sacrifice and burning the fat. And now God shifts the focus from Eli's young sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to Samuel. Samuel, who his mother besought the Lord for, that God might hear her and give her a son. And God heard her prayer and then gave her a child. And that child, Hannah, in turn determined to bring to Shiloh in order that he might minister to the Lord. And from a very young age, after Hannah had weaned him for a period of time, Samuel then lived in the place where the ark was in the tabernacle area, and he served God from the age of a young child. We're not told exactly how old he was when he began, but he was very young. And God says here that Samuel ministered before Jehovah being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now, God tells us in a couple of places in the Bible that he uses this word child in Isaiah 11, and verse 6, where it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." And this is a reference to Christ, that Christ is the little child that will lead them. And of course, Jesus was born into the world as a baby, and he did grow up like all other children, but it was as an adult that he would perform his period of ministry of 3.5 years and then finally go to the cross. Yet God at times identifies Christ as a child. For instance, in Isaiah 7, we also read in verse 14 Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And clearly this is reference to the Messiah, to Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary. And God also is giving some information concerning Israel itself. As Israel was a divided kingdom, they had the Israel of the 10 tribes of Israel in the north that had a king for a period of time, and Judah in the south that also had a king. And in the year, I think it was 709 BC, Israel in the north was defeated by the Assyrians, and their land was taken away. They were scattered, and also their king was put down, and they never had another king. And then over 100 years later, the Babylonians assaulted Judah in the south, and they also took the Jews captive and brought many to Babylon, including the king of Judah. And Judah in the south never had another king. And so it was after this prophecy of Isaiah, as God is declaring that the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And God cursed the line of the kings. There would never be another king that would rule over Israel, not until the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, the only individual that is truly the King of the Jews. And so here again, Christ is called a child, and Samuel during his early years is a type and a figure of Jesus. And notice that Samuel ministered before Jehovah. And the word minister is a word that's also translated as serve, that's exactly what it means. At one time it's translated as to wait on, and that's what the word minister means. Now, Jesus, from a baby, the Bible tells us, serve the Lord. It says in Psalm 22, and we'll just read a couple of verses to identify exactly that Christ is in view. In verse 1 of Psalm 22, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, those are the very words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that Jesus said on the cross. So we can see this is a messianic psalm. That is, God moved David to write it, and David is the penman that was moved by the Holy Spirit to record this psalm, as it says, Shahar, a psalm of David. But in writing it, it is recording what Christ would experience. And we see it's focused in on the cross. Also in verse 8 of Psalm 22, it says, he trusted on Jehovah that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And this is referring to Jesus, that from the womb, from his mother's belly, and also when he was a suckling child upon his mother's breast, he was still worshiping God, recognizing God as his God, and he was serving God in that sense. If you read verse 13, 12 and 13, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. And again, we see the cross as Jesus was hanging there, and those around him were gaping upon him. And so Christ served God all through his human existence from conception. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 20, beginning in verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So that is why Christ came into the world, to minister, to serve God, to do the will of God. And he did this all of his days. So he did it from a child. That's what Psalm 101 explains in verse 6, as the word minister, the same word that's in 1 Samuel 2, is found here, but it's translated as serve. And it says in Psalm 101:6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me or minister to me. And that is what Christ did. He walked in a perfect way. He was without sin. He was born of the Holy Ghost, and therefore he was not born in sin like all other men. He was born without sin, and that's how he served God from his mother's belly. That's how he served God as a child, as a young boy. He was ministering before Jehovah, just as Samuel was, but ministering in the sense of doing the will of God absolutely, perfectly, without fault or error, no sin at all. And, as we read the Bible, we don't read too much about Christ as a child. We read of his birth as the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus. We read of him as a young boy taken into Egypt. But we also read of him as a young man of 12 years old. In Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 40 of Luke 2. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to start in verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now notice, here is Jesus, 12 years old. He was born in 7 BC. And so if you you add 12 years, let's see, what year would that be? It would be 6 AD when Christ was 12, because you add 6 to 7, and we come up with 13. But since there was no year 0 and going from BC to AD dates, we have to minus 1. And so Jesus was 12 years old in 6 AD. And it would be, interestingly enough, 23 years from this point until 29 AD, when Christ would begin his period of 3.5 years of ministry. And I'm sure that's no coincidence. I'm not exactly sure why there was a 23-year span from the time he was 12. We don't read about Jesus, really, during that period of time. There's quietness in the Bible concerning Jesus in his teenage years and young 20s from the age of 12 until 23 years later. But here we read when he was 12 that they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And that's very similar to Samuel's family, to Hannah and Elkanah, and their custom of going to Shiloh on a yearly basis to the feast. And so Christ's family also went to the feast each year, but they went to Jerusalem because now at this point Jerusalem was the holy city. And it goes on to say in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And here we see that the child Jesus was busy about his father's business. That is, he was ministering to Jehovah, just as Samuel, as a young child, was ministering before the Lord. And Christ was constantly about his father's business. He was perpetually, all the time, ministering because he was doing the will of God every single second of every day. And he did God's will perfectly. And that's one way we can understand the spiritual meaning of what we're reading in 1 Samuel 2. Now, we've seen how Hannah's prayer matched so well or was so similar to Mary's praise and thanksgiving to God that we read in the Gospel of Luke. After Mary found out that she was with child of the Holy Ghost, and Hannah prays and rejoices, thanking God for granting her petition and giving her a child. So Samuel is definitely a picture of Christ. He's a type and figure, in this historical parable that is true history, real history, but history which teaches us about some aspect of the gospel. And in this case, it is the Messiah, the child Jesus, that he will be a constant minister to the Lord. And so Samuel, it says in verse 18, ministered before Jehovah, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now, a linen ephod was a priest's garment. Even in further along in this chapter, in verse 28, it says in that verse, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And God is talking about Eli and his family, and that he was chosen to be a priest, to wear an ephod or a linen ephod meant that you were a priest. It was a priestly garment. In 1 Samuel 22, we find actually the descendants of Eli, which we'll look at later as God will bring judgment upon the house of Eli. And 1 Samuel 22 will actually be part of the fulfillment of that judgment. But in the days of Saul, King Saul, many of the priests were slain by an Edomite named Doeg. And it says in 1 Samuel 22:18, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons, or 85, that did wear a linen ephod. So the priests were descendants of Eli. They were performing their function as a priest, and a priest was a servant to the Lord. They were ministers of the Lord. And the linen ephod was an outfit. It was attire for the priests when they went about their priestly duties. And so Samuel was a young priest. And of course, that also matches Christ, as Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And therefore, he was a minister in that sense, too. Well, let's continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Just like Mary and Joseph and their family went to Jerusalem each year for the feast. And then it says in verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, Jehovah, give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to Jehovah. And they went unto their own home, and Jehovah visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before Jehovah. Here Hannah has been blessed with additional children. God gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. And counting Samuel, that would be 6 children altogether. Well, perhaps Hannah isn't such a good picture of Mary, because Mary never had any other children, did she, after Jesus? Well, according to some of the churches out there, they think that Mary was a perpetual virgin, that she had Jesus as a virgin, and then never had relations with Joseph. Well, that's false. That is completely false. The Bible says that Jesus had 4 brothers and sisters. So after Jesus was born, Mary gave birth to at least 6 more children, because there would have been 4 boys. And the Bible doesn't tell us how many sisters. It just says sisters, plural, so we know there were at least 2. And that would mean that Mary had 6 other children besides Jesus. Jesus would be 7. Mary had at least 7 children, and there could have been more sisters that we're just not sure of, because the Bible doesn't tell us. And so Mary was not a virgin when she gave birth. The other children were not virgin births. They were the result of normal relations with her husband. She was not a perpetual virgin, as is erroneously taught in some churches. She had a normal life with her husband after the birth of Christ. And here in verse 21, Hannah also goes on to have additional children and is carrying the picture of Mary in this regard too. Now it says at the end of verse 21, and the child Samuel grew before Jehovah. And since we were just in Luke chapter 2, let's turn back there because this is almost identical language to the young child, the young boy named Jesus. It says in Luke 2 and in verse 40, and the child grew, and that child is Christ, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now in 1 Samuel 2:21, it says, and the child Samuel grew before Jehovah. It's similar, but it's not exact. Well, go down to verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And there it says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with Jehovah and also with men. Now, let's go back to Luke 2 and look at the last verse of that chapter, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's very similar language. Twice in 1 Samuel 2, we read of the child Samuel growing and then finding favor with God and man in a later statement. And here we read that Christ grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and then later he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now we can clearly see through the parallel statements of Hannah's prayer and Mary's song of praise that Samuel was a type of Christ. But this language further confirms that's exactly what God has in view in 1 Samuel chapter 2. The language is very, very close to each other. And by the way, let's just think about this before we end the study tonight. It says in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, since Christ was eternal God, Emmanuel, which means God with us, he was born God. He never ceased to be God as a baby or as a child of 12. How is it possible that Jesus increased in wisdom? Doesn't God know all things? Doesn't God have infinite wisdom? And if Jesus was eternal God as a baby, therefore he possessed infinite wisdom as a baby. And how can you increase infinite wisdom? Infinite wisdom means you already have all wisdom. There's nothing lacking. You don't need to grow in wisdom. But how is it possible? And, you know, some people use a verse like this to try and say, well, Jesus was God, but when he entered into the human race, he held back certain things from himself, certain bits of knowledge, and they reason. And it's this type of reasoning that leads some to say, well, that's how it's possible that Jesus did not know the day or hour, as some think that Mark 13 says, that the Son there is referring to Christ, not knowing the time of the end. And it's based on this, that he had to increase in wisdom. He didn't know everything. And yet That's not the case. That's not what God is saying. We realize what God is saying when we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says there in that verse, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And once we take a look at that verse and realize the word increased that's in Luke 2:52 is found here as wax worse and worse, that is increasing worse and worse, then it answers the question as to how Jesus can be infinitely wise and yet increase in wisdom. But unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time tonight, so we'll have to pick this up tomorrow evening, and we'll discuss this verse in 2 Timothy 3:13 and see how it provides us the answer to that question in Luke. But for now, we're going to close our study. Please join with us again tomorrow night as we continue looking at the book of 1 Samuel.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Chris McCann with his continuing studies into the book of 1 Samuel. These studies are heard every Monday through Friday night at this very same time over Pal Talk, over Skype, over eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over the phone. Lord willing, we'll have another Bible study for you tomorrow night into the book of 1 Samuel. And until then, may the Lord's perfect will be done. Good night.